Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Today on Edgewise, we have Michelle T. Johnson, author of a new book, The Diversity Code. She's creator of the Diversity Diva newspaper column, a former employment attorney, and author of Working While Black. Her diversity workshop clients have included Walmart, H&R Block, and several municipalities. Michelle, welcome to Edgewise.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning.
Michelle, some people might take a look at the title of the book and think, is this really an issue right now with a black president in office and several women who have been Secretary of State and Supreme Court justices? Is workplace diversity still an issue?
If you look at surface things like the president or even turn on the TV set and watch a television show where you see all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, then it does seem as if it's a passé issue. But diversity, at least in my definition of it, has never been just about race. And it's never been just about gender or even sexual orientation. It's about differences in the way that people come to their workplace, their lives. So therefore, diversity is never going to be an obsolete issue because there's always going to be some way that somebody is different. And the trick is learning how to deal with people who are different.
Now, some say that diversity is just about or merely about protected classes, which the law requires businesses and organizations to be concerned with. In other words, isn't diversity just about being non-discriminatory?
Of course, that's a huge, huge aspect of it. Being non-discriminatory is probably the most concrete aspect of diversity in the sense that the law says these are the groups in which you can't be treated badly because you're a member of that group. And even then, people don't get that concept right because, for example, people assume that protected class means only people who are racial minorities can sue. Well, if you're white and your boss who is black or Hispanic or Asian discriminates against you, you still have a race case. You still have a cause of action for racial discrimination. So even with that limited way of looking at things, people don't always get it right. But no, diversity really is far more than about being non-discriminatory. It's about how you treat people every day when they come into the workplace. Because if you get to the point of having to ask about whether something is discriminatory or not, you probably are way past where you want to be.
All right. Now, some organizations get a cruel comeuppance when the first they find out about this type of issue is when the word lawsuit enters the conversation. How can they make themselves more aware prior to the lawsuit being thrown around?
As you mentioned earlier, I was a discrimination attorney for several years. In fact, I mostly represented companies, corporations. I worked for big law firms that represented the people who got sued for discrimination. But as someone who's been on the other end of some things, as a woman and as a member of a racial minority, I'm African American, oftentimes I would look at the facts in cases, facts that sometimes would go back years before the case was actually filed. And I would say, okay, why didn't someone do something when this happened? Why wasn't there a conversation when this happened? Why wasn't there a little bit more investigation when this happened? In other words, there are always signs and there are always clues. It's whether you have managers who have the ability to interpret what those clues and signs mean.
Right. Now, some organizations have tacked the word inclusion, that seems to be a bit of a magic word these days, onto diversity department doings. Now, is this just a way to include white guys?
To be blunt, it is, but at the same time, it's a misnomer because under my definition of diversity, where diversity is far more inclusive than just talking about visible diversity, white guys are never out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different. People come to the workplace with a whole range of mindsets and viewpoints and experiences that really have nothing to do with their race, although race and gender are big dynamics. If a white guy, for example, is a different religion than the people that he works with, if he's single, if he's gay, you're dealing with differences. So I do think that inclusion as a way of making people feel as if no one is an outsider is a great idea. But my personal preference is to make sure that in defining diversity, nobody thinks that anyway.
Michelle, how do you respond to people who say, all this talk about diversity, all these workshops you run and training that you're putting me through, it's just distracting me from getting day-to-day business done and dealing with bottom-line results?
As you can probably imagine, that's something that I hear more than once. And I always have to go back to, even as early as kindergarten, little kids are judged on their ability to play well with others. So look at diversity as really nothing more than an aspect of people skills, which is something that pretty much everybody in some respect is judged on in their jobs, regardless of whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, someone who digs ditches for a living. Even prisoners are judged on their ability to get along with other people. And diversity is an aspect of that, because if you only know how to deal well with people who are exactly like you, you're kind of screwed in the average workplace, because there's not a workplace where people are exactly alike.
That's definitely true. Do you have anything you want to add?
The really tragic shooting that happened in Connecticut.
Yeah, up in Hartford, yeah.
Is an example of how diversity and getting whether people are feeling as if they're having a fear experience in the workplace is critical. Sometimes it's more critical than people realize. And I'm not trying to comment on what actually happened, because I obviously don't know the details or the facts, or if the person who allegedly did all this shooting even was telling the truth. But that issue triggered an awful lot of discussion about whether being treated fairly in the workplace is as commonplace or as uncommon as people want to think it is, depending on what their point of view is. For example, I was quoted in the paper about that by the AP, and I got several emails from around the country from people having all kinds of opinions about treatment in the workplace. So it may seem as if diversity is a really big distraction from the bottom line, but sometimes it's the only thing that some people are concerned with, because it defines their experience.
And it's incredible that things have to go to that extent before somebody's willing to broach the subject and have some probably complicated but very important conversations.
Exactly. And a lot of what the company said in the stories about that is, we've never had a discrimination complaint.
Interesting.
Every discrimination complaint, before it was a discrimination complaint, it wasn't one.
Right.
The day before it was a complaint, it was someone complaining. They just did it informally. So when companies say there was no official complaint, they can't really say there wasn't a problem. It just means it's a problem they didn't know about. And so when I try to talk to companies about diversity, it's because I want them to be able to figure it out and to have those conversations and to have that kind of environment where people don't have to either make a formal complaint or back out in some really horrific, outrageous fashion.
Exactly. Now, just to wrap this up, I'm not a CEO. I'm not a vice president. I'm not an assistant vice president. How can I make diversity a priority in my workplace if I'm not in a position of power?
Personally, I think diversity is a inside out, bottom to the top, top to the bottom kind of job. It doesn't really matter where you are in your company. If it's a priority to you personally, it impacts the workplace. And that's why, for example, when I was a discrimination attorney and I would take depositions or present witnesses for depositions, a lot of times there'd be this huge disconnect between what the people at the top were hearing and seeing and what the managers who were closer to the bone were hearing and seeing. And so it's wonderful that the companies have these fabulous policies, and most big companies do. But when it really comes to whether people are getting along and respecting differences, that's something that is everybody's responsibility. And when you go to work and you get your coffee at the coffee pot or go to the water fountain and get your water, and the people around you are interacting with you in a way that's just normal and positive and friendly, that makes a really big difference in your day versus if for some reason you feel as if people are looking at you at the corner of their eyes, they're not friendly, they're not warm, they're not welcoming. In every workplace in America, there are both those experiences taking place.
We've been speaking to Michelle T. Johnson, author of the new book, The Diversity Code. Michelle, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.
Are you responsible for creating online content that connects with customers?
AMA's new hands-on writing program offers skills, tools, and professional instructor feedback to help you improve your online content and bottom-line results. For more information, visit amanet.org and type 2182 into the search box.
Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.